This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Welcome, Carm Capriotto, the Service Aftermarket's podcast pioneer. Join me each week for aftermarket insights from my guest host and an industry first, a virtual shop tour. Use the industry's premier podcast as your personal networking resource. And as always, know that you'll learn one thing. The video for this show is on the Aftermarket Weekly page on remarkableresults.biz or on my YouTube channel. It's Aftermarket Weekly. Glad to have you here. I have a great guest today. Oh, God, it's going to be so much fun. Becky McGinnis is here from AutoVantage Service Center. Hi, Becky.
Hey, Carm.
Oh, glad to have you here. We're always looking for new people who would love to join the show and come on. So anytime, carm@remarkableresults.biz would be really, really great. I'd love to show you a picture that sits high on top of Becky's website. I mean, you can't miss it. There's this beautiful family, Becky. You and your husband, Brian, are, of course, the shop owners. And tell me about the rest of the kids.
Well, our customers have watched them grow up. When we opened the shop 13 years ago, Kiara, who's my eldest, was only five at the time. Kiara was nine. Eliza was five and Cash was 18 months old. We update the website every year. My kids deal with me doing our family pictures. Once a year, they give me 1 hour, no sass, and they let me take a family picture. So we update it every year. And our Christmas cards that we send out every year from the beginning when the kids were, you know, like I said, Cash was 18 months old. Our customers have watched them grow up and have heard all the stories about them being in college. And, you know, it's been really awesome to allow our customers to see the kids grow up.
So, Becky, how's business?
Business has been great. We are, for the year, up 40%. This month, we're up 33%. So, pretty exciting.
I have to tell you, you know, I continue to hear that over and over from so many people, and I'm glad for you. I really am. And it's a wonderful thing. Hey, want to give my propers to a great, great partner here, Dorman. Hey, we all know that fixing cars is different than how the OE builds them. Now, take fuel lines, for instance. Fuel lines run and rust along with the chassis of the vehicle by nature. Now, especially in the colder months, trucks can be exposed to snow, salt, or rain, causing failure due to the corroded fittings, deterioration in the line. Now, to help you in your wallet, Dorman Products' team of engineers have redesigned the typical fuel line. Introducing Dorman's flexible stainless steel braided fuel lines. Made from braided stainless steel over flexible PTFE tubing, this upgraded material features a corrosion-resistant design. Each fuel line is an exact fit with the dimensions of each application. Now, improved durability is the highlight of this new design. This innovation is a Dorman OE fix, which means it's something that the original manufacturer doesn't offer. These fuel lines are quality assured and backed by their team of product experts and more than a century of automotive experience. Hey, want to learn more about Dorman's innovations? Visit dormanproducts.com/tour. Becky, you were on a great episode with me. Oh, wow. Look at this crew. And the courage to make tough decisions. It was really an incredible episode. It was Town Hall Academy 243. If you want to find out how to find Becky's episode real quick, just go to the search bar on the website. That would be really cool. I say hello to Kim. Kim Auenheimer is with us. Good to have her here. All right. It's time for me and Becky to just talk some business. One of the things, Becky, that I know we've talked about what we're going to talk about today, I would say, how many people did I fire in my entire career that maybe I shouldn't have because I wasn't quite the right leader? Ever happened to you?
Yes. This past year has been an interesting year, really looking at myself and taking the time to really think, how many employees have I fired or have quit because of the manager or owner that I was, you know, prior? You know, I've been doing a lot of reflecting this last year. So it's been interesting because I wonder how many I could have saved, how many, if I'd had those hard conversations. I think it was easier for me to fire someone because I wasn't willing to go there with them.
It's tough to have that hard conversation. And I always, it took me some time to realize that the problem was never the individual, it was their behavior. And also took me time to realize that people quit people, they don't quit companies. I actually had some people leave. And once I learned how to be a better leader, once I learned that it was about me, never the company, it's really tough to reflect if you lose a good person on how did our relationship crash and burn right in front of my eyes, and I never even knew it. Ever happened to you?
Oh, yeah. I think for me, the biggest thing was realizing that for so long, I was so focused on the customer and I wasn't focused on my employees. And I heard someone say last year, you know, my job as the owner is to take care of my employees. My employees' job is to take care of the customer, and the customers are to take care of the business. And once I heard that, I mean, it was just a simple, you know, sentence that someone had said, but it hit me so hard because it was just like, I had been focused so much on the customers that I'd forgotten about my employees. And so I was micromanaging them by picking at them as to, you didn't speak to this customer this way, the way that I speak to the customer, or you didn't, you know, get them something. And it's like, I started to realize that I wasn't allowing them to do the job that I'd hired them to do, you know, because they were so worried about, well, you know, how would Becky do this? Or what is she going to think if I, you know, if I do it this way? And so when I let go and I allowed them to do the job that I hired them for, they have grown up and have been able to do things that, you know, were amazing. I mean, Brian had to step me, you know, put, you know, sit me down to the side and say, okay, until the reviews start to show something different, or, you know, we start getting feedback from the customers, we got to allow them to you know, have their spin on how they want to, you know, interact with customers. And so, you know, sometimes I walk downstairs from my office and sometimes I hear them and I go, oh, if I had answered the phone, this is the way I would have done it. But business is good. The customers are happy. Reviews are still coming in. So I have to let it go and I have to focus.
Was it hard for you? I mean, I hear you telling me that, and I'm asking a question I think I know the answer to, but what did you have to do? I mean, did you have to just stay in the office and let the place run without you?
Yes. So we moved my office. I used to be in the whirlwind of the dailies. My office was right in the middle of everything. The technicians walked in. I was the first one they saw. So we moved my office. I have a loft upstairs. So we moved my office. I've had it for 3.5 years. Finally made the move probably about 4 months ago. Brian even turned my phone off. It rings on like ring number 8 or something. It'll ring one time and then it goes to voicemail. So I sometimes don't even catch the phone calls. So he wanted me out, let them do their jobs, you know, it's okay.
So Brian realized what some of the things that you needed to do to change. Now, did he drag you kicking and screaming over the line, or were you a willing candidate?
There was an incident that happened that I was asked to have a hard conversation that I did not want to have. And so it came to, if you can't have this hard conversation, then we need to allow Brian to have them, and Brian needs to oversee the staff. So Brian stepped into the manager role. I stepped out of it. And so he is phenomenal with the employees and having those hard conversations. He can say it in a way. With me, you can tell when I'm a little frustrated or irritated with you. There's a tone in my voice. My kids know the tone. Brian knows the tone, and my employees know the tone. So it's best for me to kind of stay out. As I continue to grow as a leader, that is one of the areas that I want to be able to figure out, how can I have conversations, you know, these hard conversations in a way that I'm listening to them and hearing them, instead of coming in with an agenda. Because that's the thing, is I have a focus on what I believe is the issue when I need to listen to them and hear what they have to say.
There are so many listening to this right now that can relate to your story, can relate to you, can relate to Brian, can relate to the challenges that they have. Thank you for being so transparent and sharing. So you had to come over that trust the employee syndrome, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
And what does it take to do that? I mean, Brian sit you down and say, don't come around for 3 weeks. Let us do this on our own. Or did you have to go out and say, listen, take care of your people, let them take care of your customers. Was that your driving force?
I think that's what it was, is that I started to look at how many people I have fired or who have left us, and started to realize, like, could I have been a better leader and would they have stayed, or could I have helped them to do better in their job? I wouldn't know if they could do it unless I stepped away. And so that was, I think, the biggest thing for me, is just allowing the business to run the way that it's supposed to. And plus, I mean, Brian and I, the other thing too, is we had never given the employees what our vision was, where we wanted to see the company go, where we wanted to see it grow too. You know, we were so focused on what was going on that day instead of looking at how's the month doing? Where are we at? You know, this is the last day of the month. Where do we need to go? How short are we? Where, you know, it was like giving them a vision of where we needed to go. And so like they know that Brian and I, for me, for our business to grow and to potentially become a multi-shop, you know, for us to become multi-shop shop owners, we need to step away and we need to focus on, you know, meeting with shop owners that may potentially want to sell or looking at locations. And so for us to be able to grow, to give them the opportunity to possibly work in a different location, to help us run a different location, you know, these are the things that we have to do. So this is what we need from you. And so that's the biggest thing, is letting people know where we want to go, which we had never shared our vision before in the past, but I don't even think we knew what a vision was, you know, what our vision was. We just knew that we wanted to do better than the year before, but to actually have monthly, weekly goals is pretty incredible.
It's the right thing to be saying if you're growth opportunity is to have multi shops and of course sharing your vision and letting your team drive the bus. So you have a goal of being multi shop owner.
That's the conversation.
That's the conversation. And why is that? Is it for growing wealth or is it for just, you know, getting out there and helping more customers?
I think for us growing wealth, but also we've realized that this being our first shop, is that it was our baby. And so it was just like, we were so involved because it was our baby. We believe that we can take what we're doing here and bring it to another shop where Brian and I don't have to be so involved. Like if the policies, procedures, processes are all in place, the systems are in place, we can take it, duplicate another location and not have to be so emotionally involved. With this shop, we're so emotionally involved because for literally 12 years, I was at the front counter. You know, I knew all my customers. We were so emotionally involved. But we don't have to be, you know, I have to trust that my employees, you know, it is a business, you know, I don't want to be an employee of this business anymore. You know, I want to be a business owner of this business. And I believe that we can do it in other shops too.
I'm impressed. Okay, sign me up. I'll be on the Becky McGinnis train here. I think you are, you said so many great things that I know our audience is going to so appreciate because there's so many in your particular position. They want to grow and are they ready and are they prepared to grow? And it sounds like you and Brian have done so many wonderful and right things. Thank you so much for sharing this. I'm very, very transparent, very honest. So I appreciate that. Hey, I want to talk to you a little bit about what's going on with the podcasts that we're publishing, everyone. Today came out the Apex 2021 Service Award winners. Check that out. It's a really great, great episode. Growing sales for a new location. The Town Hall Academy came out last Thursday. Something great for you to listen to, Becky. And of course, Matt Fonslow is part of the Aftermarket Radio Network. And he had this great episode on electrical theory with Sean Tipping and Matthew Skundrich. And let me see, what else are we working on? I think that's about it. I actually think it's time. Are you ready to give us a tour of your place? Let's do it.
So this is our customer parking area. So this is the side of the building.
And they just, they park here, they pull up here?
They pull in. There's a parking over to the right. This is the front. This is the entrance.
Okay, kind of like a dealership where they would pull in.
This was actually an original dealership.
It was?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at that.
Yes, so I hired an interior decorator because I am not very good at decorating. So we still have a few more finishing touches that we need to do. But yeah, so that's the counter that they walk into. The bathrooms, employee, and customer. That is where one of my service advisors sits, so she's able to greet everyone when they walk in the door.
We should stop this for a moment and let me make a comment on what I'm seeing. The design went further than just the lobby. It went deep into the office.
Yes. So we had someone come in and put the wood behind and our logo.
How nice. Just really, really sharp. I love that. I love that, where the whole look of the front of the showroom and how people see their first impression went back inside to the office. Great job there.
So this is our board. This is how we dispatch. It's pretty easy to see really quickly where we're at, what's going on. We're still, it's a work in progress. We are changing, adding stuff to it at all times until we do the final one. So hopefully by end of year, we'll have permanent lines and things like that. So the techs can walk in, know what they're working on, what's still coming in. The quality, our lot porters can quality control, know what cars need to be cleaned once they're done cleaning it, moving into the call completed section. So then the service advisors know who they need to call. So it's very easy to see really quickly who is falling behind, what do we need to do, who needs help.
I love that. Hey, I have a question. Brian's name is up there. Is he working in the bays?
No, he's not. He's at the bottom, if you can see. He's at the bottom right now. So he quality controls more than anything. If there's a car that just, you know, is for some reason it's coming back or, you know, he just gets a last set of eyes on it. So he's kind of a just in case. But his uniforms were sent back, so he no longer has uniforms. That's Tom, our service advisor. So this is behind the scenes. There's Brian. And then we're going to be walking out into the shop. So this, as I shared, was a dealership. So it's a tri-level. We currently occupy 8,500 square feet of it. December 15th, we take over the additional 2,500 square feet, which we're going to add another four lifts. So this is the main top floor. So we currently have three lifts, an alignment rack, Hunter alignment, Hawkeye Elite alignment rack. We have currently two techs up here. And then we have two lot porters. One is in training to become an oil change. We're going to be walking down to the next level.
So it's built on the side of a hill, it looks like.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Look at that.
Four lifts there.
I can imagine the whole communications issue and being connected to your people is huge because of the size, the length of the building.
We fortunately, the guys each have walkies. And so the service advisors do too. So they make us aware when they leave, like test drive, you know, and so we know they're leaving. And then, you know, if the service advisor or technicians have a question, they can walkie to each other so they don't have to walk all the way up because it is a distance. I mean, there is definitely a lot of, you know, steps to get around. So we're going to walk over to the third level.
And the third level is hidden there somewhere. Oh,
yes,
through that door.
Before we took it over, there was a shop that was down there that was starting off. And then another shop ran the upper portion. So this is the bottom portion that is being cleared out. Our tenant's leaving December 14th. And so we're taking it over.
And you own the building?
Yes.
That's excellent. And you leased out that section of the building until you felt that you were ready to grow and add, what, a four more bays?
There was actually a tenant in the building prior to us purchasing it. So we were kind of happy because we were going from 4,500 square feet to 8,500 square feet. And you think like, there's no way we can use all that space. And then you get there and you go, oh man, I wish I would have taken the whole space. So it's been 3.5 years and we're super excited that the tenant is finally leaving. So out there is the street. We have tons of parking on the street if we need it. But we also do have 28 parking spots behind us. So the property sits on 1.1 acres.
Nice place. And are you more rural, suburban?
Yes. So population, I believe in Auburn is 20,000. So
do you own the town as far as being the place?
Well, we have been voted best of the best from the sign there. I think out of the 13 years, I think we've had the title about 8 times. So pretty confident. Of course, there's always room to grow.
And for you, work-life balance. So does it work out for you?
Just recently, you know, I mean, we're definitely trying to get out of here a lot sooner than we used to. So, but definitely just got back from a nice vacation in Mexico. So we're definitely trying to make more family more of a priority because I definitely believe that our kids, the 12 years prior sacrificed, you know, for the business. And we're no longer going to do that.
It always happens. There's no doubt when you have that level of commitment and caring. But at the same time, Becky, it sure seems like you may have a little bit better life since you have stopped micromanaging and letting your people run the business. It's almost like, okay, we want to grow. We want to add another branch someday. Look for an opportunity. I stopped micromanaging. Oh, look at what we can do. Or did you say, I think we could grow, but I have to stop micromanaging. Was it the chicken or the egg in this particular case?
I was tired of being tired. I was tired of being tired.
Oh my God, what a great statement. Tired of being tired. So you knew you had to change, and the company benefited, your people benefited. I'll bet you if you ask any one of your people right now if they love coming to work every day, I bet you they'll say yes. Becky, I sure appreciate the tour. And everyone, thanks for all your support and continuing to be a great listener to all of our great automotive aftermarket content. Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.